Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We continue today to look at St. Paul's letter to the Romans, which is the primary set of passages we're given over the last couple of weeks. We're making our way through Romans today. First reading at Mass is a celebration, or the liturgy itself. Both readings are focusing on the feast of Saints Simon and Jude, apostles. And there's a key in the first verse. We also see, again, the role of the Holy Spirit and what Jesus has done. The whole plan of salvation is to bring about in the person of Jesus through his life, passion, death, and resurrection from the dead, his ascension into glory, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost is the work of salvation. Is Jesus dealing with the sin problem that separates us from God, the death problem, which is our destiny apart from God's saving action in Jesus. And ultimately, Jesus deals with the sin problem and the death problem, making it possible for us to receive the Holy Spirit. People who are unholy, under the power of sin, living in rebellion, are made a new creation by Jesus's being glorified and outpouring of the Holy Spirit given to us. We participated in baptism. We receive it in baptism. And there, the new life of the Spirit is born in us, and we're able to live a new way of life and God's people. It's a critical thing to be able to say over and over again and to understand, brothers, is Christianity is a new life. That's the heart of it. It's the new life of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, which makes us children of God. This is what Paul is talking about through Romans. And today, this reading from Ephesians, the first reading given on the feasts of St. Simon and Jude, I just want to read it because just a few verses. It also touches upon the larger picture of what Jesus is doing in the church for us, in the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit who makes the church, who's at the heart of that life of the church that's ours, given to us, and that we enter through baptism. Brothers and sisters, you are no longer strangers and sojourners, but you are fellow citizens with the holy ones and members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the capstone. Through him, the whole structure is held together and grows into a temple sacred in the Lord. In him, you are also being built together into a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Remember, the church, the Catholic Church, it's not just an organization that's built around important moral principles. The church is literally the body of Christ. The body of Christ are all those in heaven, on earth, in purgatory who are united to the person of Jesus. The church is the temple of the living God. It's no longer a building, but it's what God has created, a temple, a dwelling place, where we are brought into union with Jesus, and he brings us into the presence of the Father, and we offer right praise, worship, giving our yes to God the Father. Where Adam failed, Jesus was the victor. He gave the full yes to the Father with total surrender. In the face of so much opposition, he radically trusted the Father. And he communicated to each one of us from the cross in his act of humility and obedience, which is really at the heart of what it means to be a child of God, how we're meant to live. He gives to God what belongs to God. He loves the Father to the end. And he shows us what it means to live as a child of God. And then he gives us a power and a capacity in the gift of the Holy Spirit, the new power within us to follow now in Jesus' footsteps and literally to be united to him in this new temple, sacred to the Lord, the body of Christ, which is his church, being built up together. And the foundation of it is the apostles and prophets, which is why we're today remembering Simon and Jude, the foundation that Jesus laid with the apostles and prophets. So just want to say, Father in heaven, thank you for your plan. Thank you for the amazing reality of what you've accomplished in Jesus. Jesus is the new temple, his body. We pray for the church today. We pray for all the descendants of the apostles, beginning with the Holy Father, Pope Leo, and all the bishops across the world, and all the priests who are serving and being united in the work of the priesthood under the authority of the bishop, and all of us who are part of this royal priesthood now, this holy nation, this holy people set apart by God. This new temple is the foundation of, you know, the eternal city that's going to be revealed in the last time. We will be united to God forever. And it begins here. And it's real. It's not just an idea. It's not just a theological dream. It's a living reality. And the center of it is the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what we've been talking about over the last couple of weeks in these beautiful chapters of Romans. And we just began chapter 8 yesterday. 18 times in this one chapter, Paul's referring to the working of and the person of the Holy Spirit. It's an important, maybe the most important aspect of our life as Christians and believers is to come to understand and to receive the truth, not just as a, again, a theological truth in a creed, but that we come to understand that, yes, I have been given the life that raised Jesus from the dead. The presence and power of the Holy Spirit has come to dwell in me. And as Paul will break down for us, we'll see the different ways in which the Holy Spirit works in us and what the Holy Spirit, the transformation that the Holy Spirit is working in us. But it's so important for us to have renewed minds. And as we ended yesterday, chapter 8 of Romans, verse 5. I'll just read that sentence again that we ended with. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. That's the concupiscent, death-directed, sin-directed reality of the fallen human nature that's still present in us in various ways. But those who live according to the Spirit, they set their minds on the things of the Spirit. So in Romans 12, Paul will say, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. So there's a change going on. There's a transformation, a process that the Lord is working out that we need to cooperate with. We need to be awake to. And that's why Paul is saying here, set your mind. What's your mind focused on? What are you believing about what Christ has done in your life? What are you believing about who you are in him? Okay, verse 6, to set the mind on the flesh is death. To set the mind on the flesh, again, the fallen nature, the concupiscent desires that we all know, the temptation to sin, that leads to death. But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. How many of us desire an awareness of the life, the presence, the experience, the knowledge of the life of God at work in us? And then that Spirit begins to bear fruit in us. Remember the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace. Paul's talking here about peace, reconciliation. God has acted in his Son to bring about peace in the human heart, in our lives, beginning first with being reconciled to God. He's made peace. Jesus' offering and sacrifice has healed us, forgiven us our sin, restored us to right relationship with God at such a level and such a depth of transformation that he gave us power in the Spirit to become children of God. He didn't just kind of wipe the slate clean. He made us something new. He made us a new creation. Friends, this is the most significant thing that's happening on the planet. It's the most important thing in your life if you've been baptized into Christ. If you happen to stumble on the program here and you've not been baptized into Christ, continue to stay tuned because you're going to hear and understand what's at the heart of the Christian life. Every human being needs not just a good moral system or good ideas about how to live. We need to receive God's saving action in the person of Jesus Christ, who reconciles with the Father. Verse 7, for the mind that's set on the flesh is hostile to God. In a nutshell, the flesh is all about this: my will be done. Me first. My pleasure, my recognition, my influence, all of it. The pursuit of idols, that's what the flesh wants. Me first, me first. And of course, the devil is constantly speaking to us about, you can have it all. Here's what you should pursue. This isn't going to hurt you. It's going to be fine. It's going to be good for you. That whole constellation of crazy lies and temptations the devil tries to bring against us. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Friends, here's partly why we have to see what is salvation all about, and why every human being needs salvation. Every human being needs to be restored to right relationship with God the Father. And we talked about last week terms that Paul used, justification. We have initial justification, meaning we have been cleansed of our sin and we've been given a share in the new life and we've been brought from death to life. God's gift, God's grace, can't be done by our own human strength. We access it through faith. Yes, Lord, I believe. I ask your forgiveness. I repent. I want to enter the waters of baptism. I want to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I want to become part of the body of Christ. I want to live that new life, and I want you to fulfill your work in me so that I can be all that you desire me to be, Lord. I want to live a life that pleases you. Isn't that interesting? Paul's saying here in Romans, those who are in the flesh simply cannot please God because the flesh is all about me first. It always leads to sin. Paul will say later, we make it our aim now to please the Lord. That is the fundamental motivation of our life. It doesn't matter what we're doing in this world, like what things we're accomplishing, what's the fundamental work that I'm doing, you know, what's my career about, what am I accomplishing? Those things can be very rewarding, and that's fine. But that all passes away, and it's nothing compared to where we are right now. And the goals we've set up for our life, they need to be rightly aligned with the fundamental goal of our life, which is to please the Lord. Verse 9, chapter 8, but you are not in the flesh. You're in the Spirit, if the Spirit of God really dwells in you. Now, this is why baptism is so important. Today, there's just a lot of blurry, people speak in very confusing ways. Everybody's a child of God. Everybody's basically there. We don't talk about this new life and this indwelling of the Holy Spirit the way Jesus did or way the apostles do. Jesus said, you know, unless you're born again by water and the Spirit, you can't enter the kingdom of God. What's the kingdom of God? This life of God, being united to God. God is love, and he loves every single human being on the planet. And he wants to bring everyone from death to life, and this is how he does it, through uniting us to the death and resurrection of Jesus and giving us new life in the Holy Spirit. Hope you can join me again tomorrow, friends. God bless. Invite your friends. Have a good day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future. And it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.